China's new e-commerce law has been rolled out, and it will be implementation at the first of next year. And we're looking at a whole wide range of issues here. Some people are saying that 代购 or overseas purchasers are going to see their business dwindle as there's further restrictions with e-commerce in general. So let's look at this issue of 代购 first before we expand to other places of e-commerce. Do you think that this new law is going to have...some changes to this current circumstance of the Daigou business. But first, Huang Shen, I'll need you to explain a little bit for us who don't necessarily understand what this Daigou business is about.
Yes, as we all know, Daigou, this is originated from the Chinese language. This is a Chinese word, which means to shop on behalf of someone. So this is a trend in China maybe in these 5 years. And there are three types of Daigou, actually. The first type of Daigou is those who just base in a foreign country, and they will help the customers in China to buy a certain kind of goods, such as luxury goods, milk powder, or cosmetics, and at a cheaper prices than those available in the domestic market. And there's another type of Daigou, they're also based in China, but whenever there's a demand, and they will hold the orders, and they will just travel abroad to buy this stuff and bring it back to China, and then deliver this to the customers. And there's also a third way, which involves importing products through unofficial channels, stockpiling, and then setting in the mainland. I think the common thing about these three types of Daigou is, first, they have a platform, maybe either on WeChat or on Taobao, and they have a certain customers, and you need to charge a small amount of commission. For example, the products is at a certain price, but you charge maybe 10 to 15% of the price as your commission fee. And then you get the products and deliver it back to the hand of the customers.
Interesting. And certainly this is something that I understand does not necessarily exist in such broad numbers and have grown into a bit of an occupation for some people outside of the Chinese context. Neela, when we first started talking about this, you looked like blank.
No, actually, when you sent me the research papers and I looked at the word Daigou, and I was like, what exactly is that? You know, I didn't know. First of all, the concept of it, I already know it existed because where I come from, people do this a lot, except when I was looking at the differences is here, it's turned out to be a whole niche market of its own. It's becoming more sophisticated. And then I realized, okay, so this is more like a traveling personal shopper, you know, but yeah, because I do that a lot when friends are traveling abroad. I'm like, hey, can you bring me this and that? But I didn't realize it's actually a market of its own until today.
Well, there is actually maybe one difference, Neela, because okay, I know you don't profit a lot from this, you've got immunity. That's what I want to say. Mm-hmm. So, do you ever charge your friends, or do your friends charge you?
No, like never.
A little bit of, see,
never at all. For example, I'm going home for Christmas, right?
Yeah.
And then I will tell a few of my friends, hey, I'll be home for Christmas, and of course there are things that they would like. Maybe somebody wants to buy a Huawei phone that cannot be found on the local market there. So they will ask me to buy the phone for them here and then take it back. There are times I've thought about, you know, inflating the price a little bit, but then I'm too nice. I just say, you know, well, let me just do this because it's a friend. So I buy the phone and then I go back and then they give me back the money. The only difference is I always demand the payback in US dollars rather than the local currency.
All right. Oh, interesting. So there is this currency exchange issue that could sometimes complicate things a little bit. But I'm glad to see that your friendships are still thriving. So everybody's happy about it.
Yeah, but you know, when I was reading about this Daigo thing, and then I thought to myself, why haven't I actually thought of doing this now?
It's a new business opportunity for you.
Yes, it just planted an idea in my head, and I don't know, maybe, I don't know.
And
I might try it.
And my friend, there are plenty of details that I think it's important to let you know if you're considering this as a business opportunity.
Of course, if I had to do it, I'll have to follow all the legal channels because I'm one person who never really wants to get into trouble.
Of course not. And with this new e-commerce law, there's going to be some variations and some things that I think it's worthwhile for people to know and hear about this Daigo industry, or if we can call it an industry. It's certainly become a side job for some people that live overseas, mostly Chinese, because I guess the market of consumers is mostly here at home. So, and for those people that have used this demand as a way to supplement their livelihoods overseas, and you get these people that are professional Daigos, or they're even or sort of like a side job that people take up. But like Huangshan said earlier, with the three different types of these overseas purchasers, if we can call them that, is that the first two types, they're still individuals, and it just depends on whether they're physically traveling with the goods or not, acting like mules, I feel.
Right.
Yeah. Or the third type, that is stockpiling.
Yeah.
Then these are usually individuals that have grown their business into maybe like a small company. And I know that actually for a fact, there are some rather big companies that do this kind of business across borders these days. So really interesting how people have seized this. We thought it would be niche, but it's actually become something of commonplace that Chinese online users are used to, that make a profit because of there's this big price difference between buying goods at one place as opposed to a foreign country. So how do you think that works? What is this sort of like a loophole or a gap in price that people are kind of exploiting?
I think whenever there's a market, there must be a demand. Because for me, I used to be a frequent user of Daigo services.
Right. Well, let us know some of your first-hand experience.
Yeah, because, for example, cosmetics, right? I prefer some foreign brands. But, you know, before, there will be a lot of taxes involved in the price. So if you buy something in China, the price might be at least 30% or 40% higher than the products you purchase overseas. And also there are some luxury goods, for example bags, or it will charge larger taxes, and sometimes when it's discount season, and the bags in the foreign countries maybe just half price or even just 30% of the price of what you can get in China. And also there's some limited editions, you couldn't buy it in your home country, maybe that's just a limited edition for certain countries. So you need to find such a Daigo and to help you buy the things you really want. And also some of my friends who are still stay in Australia, they are becoming Daigo themselves because it's a very lucrative business opportunity. For them, maybe it's hard for because we see so many Chinese overseas students, they become the Daigos. Why? Because some of them are hard to find a very decent job that paid really well. But since in China, in our home country, we have such a huge demand. So this created an opportunity for them. And they will just buy some the really best-selling products from the target country and transfer it back to the home country. So I think the demand is the drive for this business.
Actually, I mean, and just to add on that, we also have to consider that in China, there are a lot of improving living standards. A lot of people are becoming richer and smarter. They just don't want to spend just because it's a Gucci bag, for example. They can just go walk into any stores here and buy because they already have research. They know how the prices here have been increased and because of the import taxes. And also because some people might really want that particular bag that they cannot find within the country, for example. And also, if they did, they're not really sure if it's the right choice they are making. So a lot of these people, these personal shoppers or daigos, as you guys call them, are very knowledgeable, have a lot of knowledge. They have the first-hand experience. They probably have done this a lot of times. So the buyers or their customers tend to trust their judgment better. So hence, a lot of people are willing to, you know, to use these daigos to shop for them.
Right. And also, I think it's not just tax. I think it's kind of hard to pinpoint exactly how much the imported tax is, but we see that China is devoting more efforts into reducing tariffs these days. So that is certainly one thing to keep in mind. But I suppose a lot of the times it's just the sales avenue is rather limited in China. Maybe this brand has only one shop or one counter at one store. But overseas, in its home country, I mean, there's usually lots of sales avenues, and it could probably have the goods on international e-commerce platforms too. And when it comes to e-commerce, usually it cuts costs. So then the price that is labeled will automatically be cheaper. So now I think shoppers are becoming, like Nila, you said, so smart. And we know to compare different platforms, different avenues, and across borders. And that's all made possible, well, thanks to the internet and the smartphone that pretty much, well, most urban dwellers in China would be in possession of one. So, well, that is the background of why people would want to and look for these cheaper deals, good deals online.
And sometimes it's not just even about cheaper deals. Sometimes it's just the bragging rights of the location. Where, for example, if you're buying a product that's originally is supposed to be to have the sophistication of Paris, it doesn't, you know, when you're talking to your friends, usually you realize when you're talking, people will ask you, wow, where did you buy this bag? So there's a difference if you said, well, I bought this all from an e-commerce site than saying I was in Paris, you know, walking to a store in Paris buying a particular handbag or something. So there's just little nuances that make people go for this.
Yeah, and there's also another area of shopping interest, I suppose, for people. That's not only about luxury brands or coveted brands, but it's also everyday stuff. But you want to really trust that product. For example, like baby formula, like diapers. And Chinese shoppers are very smart. I've seen moms that shop baby diapers that come from Japan and other baby stuff from Germany, and they look at different countries for what's best for the baby, the husband, the household. And and Germany is also known for the ginormous pots that they make. Apparently it's made of really good metal, and some Chinese consumers have heard of that reputation, I suppose, and want some more. So it's really interesting that in the sense that the global market has become sort of at your fingertips for shopping. And I suppose that choice and having the money to purchase such goods, that is a great thing. But why is that sometimes the daigo or these overseas purchasers can become a bit of a pain in all of this?
Can I start? Let's from the airport lines, like, you know, like going through customs. You just arrived, you've been traveling for 15 hours straight, and then you arrive at the airport, and then because of that, I noticed that has been happening a lot, especially when in big airports, like in the capital airports in Beijing, where the lines at the customs have just so much grown that it gets so exhausting going through that. And that's because I think one of the reasons, because of the daigos, that now everybody has to go through the customs, your bags have to be checked to find out if you're bringing in more than you should. Well, so I find that a bit, you know, not amusing at all.
Yeah, well, sometimes I suppose some people waiting in the line that have brought back goods that's above the allowance threshold, then that's time to pay tax.
Yeah, because we were surprised by the news during the National Day holiday, and in Shanghai Airport, they arrested over 100 people for doing the illegal daigou. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's the amount of stuff they brought into the custom, like it surpassed the legal amount. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think as a used to be frequent user of Daigou services, the reason why I quit Daigou is because sometimes it's hard for you to find the really trustworthy Daigous, because you can't make sure the things they help you buy in some foreign countries are authentic. Sometimes it's just fake goods. And now because some express companies, they can help you to counterfeit the delivery details, and also they can also counterfeit the receipt. For example, if you buy, I think it's if you buy clothes or bag, that's okay, because if it's fake, it won't harm your health.
Yeah.
But just imagine, what if you buy the health products, the supplements, and if they are the fake ones, that will definitely damage your health. So now I prefer to trust some big e-commerce company. They will do the direct Daigou service, but they are run by the companies.
Right. Well, that is a bit of a headache for people. That is, this is actually a huge business opportunity that many, many people have taken up. And there are some good ones, but some bad apples get mixed in there too. And it's difficult for you to tell, and it's difficult for the authorities to tell as well, when a lot of this is sort of individual activities. Mm-hmm. And with this new law that will be implemented on January the 1st, 2019, it actually increased the threshold for people. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, it's 20,000 yuan of a yearly profit that is allowed. Anything above that, well, you're subject to a different tax, a higher tax. Mm-hmm. And with the new law in place in the near future, it'll be 26,000 yuan. So actually, you know, there's a little bit more of a allowance for people to engage in such kind of business if they want to do that as an individual. But as an e-commerce platform, I suppose that would be a very different thing, because it would be a big, it's a lot more business volume that's involved. So a lot of the e-commerce platforms are looking at this new law and seeing, what does this mean for my business? Well, what are your interpretations as such with this new law that will be implemented in the near future?
I think before people may guessing this law will put an end to the Daigou business, but later on we find out actually maybe it will be a new opportunity for those Daigou business, because the law will further reduce the tariff barriers, the trade barriers, and maybe also reduce the tariff tax. So this, I think, is a new spring for those Daigou practitioners. And also, I think there will be some severe measures to be carried out to regulate those Daigou platforms or those Daigou individuals. So this means the quality of the Daigou products can be further guaranteed. So maybe more people would like to buy things from Daigou or the e-commerce platforms.
I was just going to say, like, people like me who always have trust issues, especially if I have to spend a lot of money on something, I wouldn't normally use somebody else. It doesn't matter whether I trust you or not. So I think if such laws are put in place, the control issues in terms of quality will be dealt with, and more people perhaps will, you know, a lot of people will have this will be like a new career line for people who want to go in this sort of kind of business. So I think it's a good thing, and if the tariffs go down, well and good.
Yeah, well, when the tariffs go down, and actually will have a huge implication for people who want to buy the goods, they'll be the first in line to benefit from it. And currently, well, China is very committed to this act, and we see that, well, actually, this is according to the spokesman of China's business bureau, and said that 68 more of the items on the list of reducing tariffs will be presented soon. So, so actually, you do see that I think China's trying to embrace more of the wider world and welcoming different countries to export their goods to China. And if Chinese people have this appetite, and as demonstrated, it seems, yes, we do, and if you can just get it at home, then that's like the easiest way. It cuts the need of finding someone or a platform.
Or traveling, taking a flight to travel.
But again, also reduce carbon footsteps.
Yeah,
yes, exactly.
Footprints, yeah.
And that would be a good thing.
And also don't forget that, especially right now, China as a country is trying to champion globalization. And in that process, we're seeing that the border lines are being blurred, like where the whole world is morphing into one small village. I think this is an opportunity for Chinese people to also discover smaller brands that are actually very, very good, not only from, you know, the developed world, but from other small countries that might many people might not perhaps have access to. So I think this will be a win-win situation for other people who want to have their products imported into China, as well as have the Chinese market have access to these great products that maybe some people don't know about, because a lot of young people nowadays are trying to get away from the traditional brands. People are trying to have their own unique style, and this is a good opportunity for them to do that.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm just thinking one other group of businesses and brands, that's the domestic ones. So when consumers are given so much more choice and it's so easy to get goods from all kinds of countries around the world, how do you think the domestic brands and companies are faring with this more globalized, I suppose, of a shopping place?
I think that that will push local brands to improve their quality, because if they improve their quality, that means a lot more local people with, first of all, patriotism, they will be forced to buy home first before they go buying things abroad. So the more products you have on the market, the more competitiveness is introduced, the better for the local small suppliers and small producers, because that will push them to make sure that they do have a unique selling point and a competitive edge. So I do think it's a good thing for them.
I think it's really a positive thing, because this will encourage all the companies to have more efforts into innovation to satisfy the customers, because we know customers in China now are very smart.
Yes, well,
very smart and very picky.
And one last question about these overseas purchasers, or daigou in Mandarin Chinese. Do you think it's still a good job to have?
Definitely.
I mean, it depends. I would say definitely, because if there is a market, why not go for it? I mean, try it, because the market is not going anywhere. It's going to stay. A lot of people are going to keep buying money. More people are going to have money, so why not?
And also, I like to highlight that there are some laws that's putting some kind of restriction here. For example, if you make a profit above a certain level, then you need to pay a higher level of tax.
Yeah.
And if not, then that's tax evasion, and the authorities could come after you.
Just make sure you are familiar with the laws.
Definitely, the new laws. You're listening to Roundtable.